This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. The show that...
Yep, that's what I thought.
Fan Run Radio.
Today we are here to move volunteer athletics forward to greatness. It is my sincere honor and privilege to welcome Dr. Danny White to the great University of Tennessee.
Really excited to be here. So proud to step into this unbelievable opportunity. I've never worked at the big brand place until now, and I actually like the fact that the brand needs to be polished a little bit. Let's build some positive momentum. If you're upset or you're negative, text your buddy. Don't put it on social media.
No. You were doing fine. You had been courteous and you had established trust. And now this ham-handed segue, it won't do.
Dance. Of the people that we hire, a head coach that I can trust unequivocally. We obviously have some work to do on our football program, as the Chancellor mentioned, from a leadership standpoint and, candidly, a competitive standpoint.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Fan Run studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Adam Hickman on board. 3 and Out. It's... Can you do it, Dave?
I forgot today was that day.
Me too, actually.
Make Adam do it.
It is Optimism Tuesday.
Not bad, really. Not gonna lie, it's not bad.
If I would have, dang it.
Optimism Tuesday.
I probably would have just said to just cancel the show if I'd remembered it was Optimism Tuesday.
That's great. That's awesome.
You should have sent that in the text.
Yes, Dave, it's my fault. I apologize for not reminding you what day of the week it was. That's on me. Boys, I'm not gonna lie, I think the weekend finally caught up to me. Hickman called me out. Yesterday, I had Omaha adrenaline. Today, 2 days of heat, sun, perhaps some libations. I think it's caught up to me. It's a struggle bus this morning.
I always feel like I got ran over by the weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend. Hodges out. That dog. Good for him. Anyway, we battle. We press forward. Round one of Tennessee's trip to the College Awards World Series is set. Tennessee will face Virginia Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Is that right? 1 Central?
That is correct.
Did you guys happen to watch that Virginia game yesterday at all?
No, it was middle of the day. It was busy.
So busy. Hickman, any?
Saw there was a grand slam.
Yes.
I saw that DBU's pitcher got hurt.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. It was weird. It was like a lat. What is this right here? What is this?
Yeah, that might be a lat.
We'll call it a lat injury.
I don't know. I only was a kinesiology major for one semester. So
we'll work on the parts of the body at some point during the show. But, yeah, Davey, you were absolutely right. I think it was the bottom of the seventh.
Wasn't it 2-1 until then?
Yep, it was 2-1. Virginia loads the bases, two outs, two strikes, and old buddy just swung about as hard as he could. His helmet fell off. He swung so hard. Puts it over the fence. Virginia hangs on, wins the game over Dallas Baptist. I don't know about you guys. I'm actually pretty glad that happened. I did not want to be going up against the Cinderella of the College World Series.
So basically like the Loyola Chicago of baseball.
You probably read my tweet. Yes. They have way, way too many Loyola Chicago vibes.
I agree with that.
Loyola Chicago, very, you know, I mean, it's a Catholic school. This is obviously a Baptist school. There's a lot of similarities. I don't think they had a Brother John. That was a Sister Jean joke there, Hickman. Just laugh whenever you feel comfortable doing it. I just didn't want that. I didn't want it. I feel like we're already kind of the bad boys of this tournament. I didn't want to be going up against the good boys of this tournament. So I'm actually pretty thankful that Virginia hung on and got it done in dramatic fashion. Obviously not as good as, you know, Drew Gilbert walk off bottom of the ninth grand slam, but a grand slam in super regionals nonetheless.
Yeah, if we were to lose to DBU, the Twitter mob of opposing fans, we would never hear the end of it.
I'm glad you brought that up. Did you see yesterday all the complaining and the whining from not only LSU fans, which I understand, like Arkansas fans rejoin the fray?
Oh, we live in their head rent-free. That's all you can say. And I guess only Tennessee fans aren't allowed to celebrate and have fun when you finally have a good team to root for.
Yeah, there was some former LSU player who said, he tweeted at Chris Burke and said, "Why does your team act like my 12 and under baseball team in the dugout?" It's like, wait, they're having fun. Oh, no. Stop it. Stop the game. Tennessee plays and has fun. This is...
Carry on.
Thank you. I appreciated that.
I mean, like Coach V says, I mean, his team does the right thing on and off the field. We got a group of ballers. They take care of business in the classroom. You're not going to see them in the headlines outside of baseball.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they keep their nose clean. And I think a good reward for that would be able to have some fun while you're out there playing the game you love.
Flip a bat.
I mean, look at some of these SEC scandals you have. I mean, LSU, their whole athletic department, as corrupt as it gets, just filled with conspiracies about, you know, allegations that
like top to bottom.
Yeah,
top to bottom.
I mean, top to bottom. You go through that athletic department. It's for them to go out here and preach about class. Yeah, give me a break.
Did you see all the LSU fans complaining of? I mean, well, I'm trying. There were so many racist, ethnic, like violence. One person tweeted it. I don't know if he's a news host or something like that, and said we had to be protected by the police in our section. It's amazing. Not one of these LSU fans, not one to this point, pulled out their cell phone and documented any of the accusations.
Hell, even a Tennessee fan would document that and put it on Twitter. Like,
I know.
These LSU
like accidentally. Like, yeah. Oh, look at us. We're heckling the LSU fans. Oh,
I gotta get a police escort out of here.
I mean, it's like, what are we doing here? It's a college game. It's college kids having fun, and you're just complaining to complain because your team got stomped.
And we kind of touched about this yesterday. It seems like the people that weren't at the game are the ones complaining.
Yeah.
Like I
heard from a friend who was at the game that this. Okay, well, where are they? Why aren't they complaining? Where's their documentation? Where's their proof? Well, I had two friends tell me, no. Okay, well, where is it? Prove it. Are you just making this up?
I've seen the one tweet saying that they needed a police escort out. But other than that, no tweet starts with, I was at the game,
No, it was, I heard, We, being all of LSU fandom, we were ridiculed, harassed. It's kind of funny, really, how quickly we have become. You know, and I made this point yesterday. I apologize for nothing. I'm done being the nice guy. Because you know who made us this? You know who did this to Tennessee fans? All these other fans. Every time we're bad, we know we're bad at a certain sport. Like, we get it.
We've embraced it at this point.
Yeah, but like, we stink at football. Yeah, we know, we get it. But could they leave it at that? No, they had to just dig at us and dig at us.
They've kicked us while we've been down for the last 12 years.
Yeah, now we're not down. Not in this sport. Not in baseball. You spit on us over and over and over and over and over and over again, and now we stand up and slap you in the face, and you're like, oh, horror. Sorry, no, you did this to us.
I mean, if you really think about it, football is the only sport we're missing.
I know.
I mean, basketball's always going to be
a tournament
team.
We're so close, but
we're really not.
We're really not.
But I'll tell you what, the second we are relevant at football again, we will not forget. We will not forget the last 12 years and how we've been treated by opposing fan bases.
I mean, they're getting a taste of it right now.
Oh, it's going to be so
like
much worse.
When it comes to football, though, we've hit that point. It's just pity from the other fans.
It's Davey Hudson on Optimism Tuesday. No, Dave, it's not. It's not. They dunk on us at every opportunity. It's not pity. It's not like, oh, poor Tennessee got caught cheating. Oh, those they say, oh, they can't even cheat and win. At least when we cheat, we win. Oh, the last time we played you in football, you only scored 10 points. You scored more runs in the baseball game.
I must not be seeing those tweets.
Yeah, you're not, because you don't look for them. You just sit back there and think everyone feels sorry for us. They don't feel sorry for us.
No, it's not feeling sorry for us.
You just said pity. That's exactly what that is.
There are, what was it?
They hate us. No, they love to see it.
I had Kentucky fans, like back when Kentucky happened, I had Kentucky fans that I was seeing like, man, like this is just sad. So I guess that's more of, it's not apathy. The apathy is kind of set in for the other fan bases to where it's not even, like, for Alabama, they're just like, oh, Tennessee, that's just a bye game. You know, like, we just show up, handle business, move on. Florida, same way. Maybe it's just the big ones. Maybe the smaller schools that actually have a chance to beat us, like the South Carolinas, the Vanderbilts of the world, maybe they still do it, but I don't care enough about them to get on Twitter and find out.
Yeah, I would say that's a good point to some degree. I would say that the bigger schools that we used to rival with would probably like to see a good game with us every now and then, as opposed to the small schools. They want to.
Yeah, we haven't held up our end of the bargain. I get it. But I'm not buying the whole they pity us. They might not care about the game because they know it's not going to be a thing. But that doesn't mean they're not like poor Tennessee fans. Oh, those poor guys. I'm so sorry your team stinks. I'm so sorry you're under investigation. No, they're like.
Like, if Alabama started this 12-year stretch that we've been on tomorrow, you would never hear me say, oh, I can't wait till they're good again and can give us a good game. No, I want them to stay down.
Right.
I hate them. Smack talk them.
But then in year 12, would you be like, man.
No.
This game's really
I doubt I would.
Well, now that we've gone through this, that makes some more sense. Now that we've.
I mean, as long as we still win, I'd probably want it. You kind of view it as. At least this is my take. So I'm really big on I don't care about the small games. I just want it to be like an all Power 5 conference situation to where you just play the teams with some name value.
You go into every game amped up for it, right?
Yeah, it's not like we got a gimme coming in to where it's like an FCS school.
Yeah.
And so I would, after a while, I would be like, all right, at least give us a challenge here and there. Like, I just want to see a hard-fought game. But then again, like, I've been conditioned over so many years of just losing to where my mindset's probably different than most people who are expecting it to be at least somewhat competitive.
I'm just saying I'm not apologizing for being happy about the baseball team. All these.
No, that's a completely different conversation.
Well, that's what the conversation started on. I'm just bringing it back to what we started talking about.
I don't know, like the football, like Tennessee football account tweeted out yesterday, like, hey, 80 days till football season. And I'm just like, let's pump the brakes a little bit, all right? Like,
I mean, I get it. Those are like scheduled countdown tweets, but it was like, hey, I'm happy about something else. Let me be happy about that. Don't try to insert yourself here. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't bring everybody else down with you.
It is weird. Like, so Arkansas and LSU, I mean, they're like bitter rivals. Like, that's like the Thanksgiving rivalry. And obviously, baseball-wise, like, they're head-to-head. Those two fan bases have united in their hatred for Tennessee. They're like, high-fiving each other because, oh, you called them classless? I think they're classless, too. Like, we are – this is – it's unheard of. Like, fans in the West especially, and of course Vanderbilt fans, but I mean Vandy, Tennessee, naturally they hate us. But it's like they're getting their rocks off watching Tennessee fans have a good time and allegedly be classless. And they're all like simultaneously rooting for the demise. It's amazing, really. It's remarkable. I don't quite understand it. Has that ever happened? Like, have Tennessee and Florida fans ever been like, oh, yeah, high five, brother. Ed Orgeron's a moron. Like, collectively? I've never seen it.
No,
I've never seen anything like it. Not within the SEC.
I will step back. Granted, I probably, as far as, like, I have seen a lot of people from those fan bases kind of getting dragged right now from the Tennessee faithful, one guy in particular who might be losing his job because of this for some tweets that are currently resurfacing. But
God,
how much...
Go delete this stuff, man.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, screenshots last forever, though. But I will pose it this way, and this probably isn't the most fun way to have a conversation, but how many people would you say it's just a very, very small few, and it feels like it's starting to be the majority? Because I will say I did see a tweet from someone that no one in our fan base claims. And then I think that started the onslaught from all these other fans kind of coming in. Like, whenever you say you wish that the entire LSU team dies in a plane crash, and then those fan bases see that, and then everyone gets lumped in together, and the tweets start to get worse and worse.
I didn't see this.
Yeah.
Someone tweeted.
A known idiot basically said they hoped the LSU team on their way back would pull a Bo Ryan.
Well, I mean, that's one moron.
It is, but that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of times it just starts with one idiot, and then a lot of people come in, and it just spirals out of control.
Well, I'm not talking about, like, arguing with I'm just talking about like the LSU guy that accused us of having like Astro buzzers in our jersey. Did you see this?
Yeah.
He took pictures of our back pockets where our play card is, so mm-hmm. they know where the shifts are, and he's like, what are these? These gotta be buzz. It's stuff like that where I'm like, and then the Arkansas fans were like, yeah, they should check that out. That's totally like that. It's unbelievable.
Chad Dallas has a substance in his crotch.
Yeah. Why does he keep adjusting his cup? Because it's a cup and you adjust it? Like I don't know. Yeah, like, I mean, like, exactly. Like, oh, he's got a substance in there. It's like, what? The guy threw in a downpour. Any substance he had anywhere is gone, ruined.
It's going to be running down his leg at this
exactly.
point.
Exactly. Like, it's amazing. I've really never seen anything quite like it. I mean, yeah, when somebody tweets something that stupid, they deserve all the heat they're going to get. But
the bromance that's formed between LSU and Arkansas fans, I mean,
I've never seen that before.
That's like Ohio State and Michigan football fans coming together. It's like, ha, 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 James Franklin.
Yeah, Northwestern's classless. Penn State classless. I mean, they hate Penn State anyway. I'm just saying, people cannot handle that Tennessee's good. They cannot handle that Tennessee fans are excited about something. They can't handle that we sold out the stadium this weekend. They can't handle that we heckled pitchers in the bullpen. And then that we put an absolute melee on LSU on Sunday. Like they just, not to mention LSU now obviously out, Arkansas out, so they are uniting in their loserdom, if you will.
Yeah, I think a part of, like, the more I kind of sit back and I view it, trying to find the underlying theme of why they're upset. The Arkansas fans I kind of get, because they were so excited for going to Omaha, and now obviously that is not occurring. While I don't regret what we did as fans, I mean, I was there, like, I heard it, but a lot of the LSU fans are upset because when we acknowledged that, or the PA acknowledged it was Marinara's last game.
Marinara?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As I like to call him. There were boos. And rightfully so. That made a lot of people mad. It's funny. If you don't like it.
He's not dead. He's not sick. He's retiring. It was his last game. And he called out the fan base. Like he's like he is the poster child for why our fan base is so ticked off. Like, call is classless.
How would they feel if Tony Vitello got done getting hosed in a series down there over the weekend? And in his press conference said, yeah, I thought their fans were a little classless.
First of all, he'd never do that.
Nasty stuff.
He'd be like, man, great environment for college baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, a comparable thing would have been, I guess, no, it actually would have been at the time, and I know people are going to look at it now based off his tenure as AD, but like Alabama fans booing Philip Fulmer on his last game, like knowing that he was going to be retiring. Like if you had something like that, that's what I'd compare it to. The guy had... Maneri had one national championship.
Do you think there was one Alabama fan in the world who wasn't like giddy when Fulmer got fired?
No, I mean they hated the guy. They blame him for a lot of the issues they had during
exactly.
the 90s.
Exactly. Like, did we call them classless because they didn't like Philip Fulmer? It's like, we kind of get it, man. He ratted you guys out. Yep. Sorry for your trouble.
I mean, like, you got to go back because that was really before the social media era, but. Had social media been around back then, like what would the response have been
to
Fulmer retiring from other fan bases? I mean, that's kind of how you have to look at it.
He didn't retire.
Well,
technically,
they let him kind of have his.
I mean,
they let him finish out the season, but we knew it wasn't going to be. I mean, that's what Maneri, like, he's not retiring on his own. He's being forced out, and they kind of like they're like, but thank you for letting him. Like, for what you've done for this program, I mean, you did get us a national championship, but it's time for us to go into another direction. And that's pretty much what happened with Fulmer.
Did Maneri have, like, the teary-eyed press conference where he had to, like, pretend that it was his decision?
I don't know if they did, but you also have to remember it's baseball, and so it's not going to get the same amount of attention.
I don't know, man. It's LSU baseball. Like... They're the Alabama football of baseball.
They broadcast. I'm pretty sure the broadcast was on SEC Network when he announced his retirement.
Was he like crying through it?
I didn't see it.
I don't know.
He's a very emotional guy because you could tell though.
Well, he's definitely emotional.
At the eighth, ninth inning of the game, you could tell he was fighting back tears. Maybe even let a few out.
Poor guy.
Yeah, poor guy.
Hate that we had to do that to him, you know?
I hate that he won a national championship, had a great career, and now he's going to have to play golf for the rest of his life.
Hey, he actually said that. He was like, I've lived the dream for 39 years. Like, don't feel sorry for me. Like, this has been amazing. But I think it was just it's my last game. Like, it's real. It's setting in, whatever. But all that to say, like, yesterday was hilarious. Like, teams and fans, they cannot stand that Tennessee's going to Omaha. They can't. They are freaking out. They can't believe it. I think I mentioned this yesterday. This is the 22nd year in a row that the number one overall seed will not win the College World Series. Remarkable. And to not even make it to Omaha for Arkansas is... Yeah. By the way, did you see all the stuff with Cops yesterday? Like all the new stuff? Like his interviews and whatnot?
I saw a clip from the interview, yeah. God, that's a hard kid to root against right there, I'm telling you.
I don't know how you could.
It's a shame Dave Van Horn has no regard for the well-being of his arm.
I mean, it's the guy single-handedly beat us like three times.
Yeah.
Like, without question. Game one in our series here. Game three in our series here. SEC tournament final. Like, it was Cops.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel bad for the kid.
Yeah, he's a great kid. Great ambassador for that university.
You know, he's got 1 year of eligibility left. You think we could lure him? You think he could transfer? You think Tony V might be like, hey, man, you know who'd never do that to you? Me. And Frank Anderson.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, I kind of could. It'd be awesome.
Cops with a healthy Jackson Leith coming back.
Oh, God.
Plus the top six or seven.
Should we just do that
class?
And just try to win back-to-back natties? Like, because we're going to win this year is what I'm saying. You get it.
Yeah, we're
good. I mean, people are saying he's not expected to get drafted high.
No, it's like fifth to seventh round, which is not terrible. But, you know,
I mean, for a guy who's probably going to win National Player of the Year,
Yeah, he's going to win the Golden Spikes Award. He deserves it. And if there was any doubt, I feel like anyone who watched that performance and then saw the aftermath of him going into the fans and the crying, and all, which I'm not trying to make fun of him, I'm just saying, anyone who watched that and doesn't think he's, like, the best ambassador for what college baseball should be.
I mean, seeing that, though, makes me think he's not going to go play at another school if he does want to return.
Oh, no, he's not. I was making a joke about that.
Like, I think we can get some movement behind this.
I don't know. Tony V did recruit him to Arkansas.
I was about to say, like, that's the thing. I don't understand how he's probably feeling towards his coach after realizing, like, his coach put him in a really tough position.
Yeah, I would
position.
Say in the moment, and you could tell, like, in the moment he was kind of blaming himself. I feel like 2 days later, one conversation, like, with your dad or something. Did you see the image of his dad in the crowd when they went to him? Mm-hmm. He did not look like a happy man. He looked very upset. One conversation with his old papa, and he might rethink old Dave Van Horn.
141 pitches in 2 days?
Something like that.
Not even 2 days, like 34 hours.
Absolute disgrace. We'll hit a quick break. Come back. Hour number one. Three and out. (865) 546-8200, your number to join us. Three and out rolls on. Houston Crest, Davey Hudson, Adam Hickman. We go now to the phone lines. We got Steve up first. Steve, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Greetings from Hilton Head Island.
All right, you show off. Did you get up and watch the sunrise over the Atlantic there, Steve?
Yeah, I just went to the Hilton Head Diner for crab cake, hollandaise.
All right. Yeah. Gosh, I'm starving now, Steve. Thank you. I appreciate that. Crab cake Benedict. Give me that.
I'm going to brag some more because I called in last week and I absolutely called LSU's head coach. And I didn't get to listen yesterday, guys. Sorry, family time and all that. But I snuck out today. I called their coach. He's soft. He was weak and soft, and especially in that second game, you could tell they were absolutely intimidated by the Big Orange. I mean, his body language was like, oh, my last game, I'm going to get punked in my last game as a head coach. And you could just see it, and that's just another example of how important, especially in college sports and below, how important the head coaching position is, because these teams really do take on the personality of their coach even more so than the pros, because, you know, the pros are getting paid money, you know.
Yeah, and oftentimes a lot more than the coach makes, so.
Yeah, exactly, and they know, you know, if push comes to shove, the coach is gone.
Right, yeah.
And that all started with Michael Jordan and Doug Collins. But in college and any level below that, it is so much more important for the coach to be, you know, the kind of guy that we have now, and that was evident this weekend. You could see the team that was not scared, wasn't scared of the moment even. And I tell you, for Tennessee to have been what they have been, before Vitello got here, and nothing against Dave Serrano. That guy's a class act, and everything. He just, you know, and he admitted, he's like, I wasn't playing the right kind of baseball, and time ran out on me. And but he did bring in, and I want to give a shout-out to him, he did bring in quite a few of these guys that have us where we are.
Absolutely.
And Coach Vitello just took it from there. That this past weekend, if there's nothing else that shows what head coaching does for college kids, you come in there, you're strong, you spit in everybody's eye, okay? You don't kiss the ring, and those kids are going to believe that they can win, and confidence is the key to all the locks, you know, and he's unlocked it. And so I'm so happy and so proud of this team. And, you know, I know this sounds hyperbolic and everything. But right now, they go to Omaha. They go 0-2. I can't make any kind of complaint. Now, will I? If they do, yeah, I'll be disappointed. I won't deny that. I'm not saying that I wouldn't be disappointed if they went into Omaha and got out in two games. But I'm still thrilled with the season that they've had. And it's, you know, something that, you know, and we've had other teams to go to Omaha, you know, obviously, and everything. But we haven't had any team like this go to Omaha. And that's nothing taken away. I'm not taking anything away from Luke Hochaver and Paul Helton and Bubby Trammell and all those guys. I appreciate what they've done, you know, for the program up to this point. But this team is, there's just something special. And you could even, you know, there's not many superstars on this team per se, you know, at least maybe from a prospect standpoint. But, man, I wouldn't trade a one of them, not a one, for any, you know, Arkansas can have Kevin Compts because they're sitting at home. And, you know, that kid's a great talent, you know. But this team is special, not only because of the head coach, but they have a chemistry that more talented teams don't have and can't win. And honestly, that's probably why we had some problems beating teams like LSU or Florida and Georgia in football over the past 15 years, is we had more talented teams, but we didn't have the chemistry. Mm. And that comes from not only the players, but the head coach. So anyway, guys, hey, I appreciate it, and I appreciate the Vols and Coach Vitale. Let's pay Vitale. Let's get the stadium upgraded to where it belongs, because we're going to be a top-notch SEC program, national program from here going on. Have a great day, guys.
Enjoy vacation, Steve. I'm starving. That crab cake Benedict sounded real,
oh, yeah,
real good.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that.
I pretty much tuned him out, and all I could think about was what he just had for breakfast. Kidding, of course. So that is an interesting point, though. Like, with this team, obviously now headed to Omaha, what are the quote-unquote expectations? Because we've already exceeded season expectations, right?
Let's look at that. We talked about this yesterday. There was a question of what are the odds for Tennessee likely winning the whole thing? So according to DraftKings, I don't know, Adam, did you see this?
Yes,
so, I did. So okay. they did re-update them? Or updated them with,
well, they put out the odds.
Like, well, I'm just saying, like, I saw the odds going into the weekend, and it was Arkansas favorite. Obviously, now Arkansas cannot win the College World Series, so they've re-updated the odds.
Yes, I want to see what they're at now, because it's obviously changed some since they've been able to put those out there, because you had two games happen yesterday. We discussed that Virginia won over Dallas Baptist. You also had Mississippi State beat Notre Dame,
mm-hmm,
and so you have your eight teams that are now set for the league. And just real quickly, I don't think we've even given the eight teams that you could potentially have to face in Omaha. We do have the schedule. I'll go over that, and then I'll get into the odds of where Tennessee is. So right now, game one, which will be this coming Saturday, you have Stanford versus NC State. Game's at 2 o'clock on ESPN. After that game concludes, you have Vanderbilt versus Arizona at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Then on Sunday, you have Tennessee versus Virginia, 2 p.m. ESPN2 on...
How did Georgia do that?
Yeah, exactly. And then game four, you got Texas versus Mississippi State. That game's at 7 p.m. on ESPN2. So those are your eight teams. They're all Power 5 teams, and you're looking at likely... let's see here. So if you beat Virginia, you then play the winner of Texas versus Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. You lose, you play the loser. But when you go... Trying to pull up the odds currently on DraftKings, Tennessee has the second best odds to win the College World Series,
which we did going into the weekend behind Arkansas. So
now you're behind Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's at +200, Tennessee at +275. Makes sense when you're setting it that way. Tennessee was not able to beat Vanderbilt in their one series earlier in the year.
Well, they didn't win the series. They did take one out of the three games.
Yeah,
I mean, you said they didn't beat them. I'm just making sure what everybody. Everyone knows we did beat them. We just didn't win
the
two.
Series.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry if I did not clarify there. But you're talking about, like, the first game, the team with the lowest odds to just win the College World Series is Virginia. So you could maybe argue you've got the most favorable matchup of any other team that has to play in the first round.
Am I crazy for agreeing with those odds?
No. No, they sound...
Like it's so weird that here we are talking about Tennessee having the second greatest odds to win a national championship. It just doesn't feel right.
Well, that's why my expectations question, like, heading into the season, if I had told anyone, like, we're going to Omaha, take it or leave it, but you're guaranteed Omaha. Like, everyone takes it. Everyone says, yeah, what? This seems... Because Tony V said last year that was his Omaha team. That was the team that looked like it could, you know, get to Nebraska. Like, that was the team. This year it's like, yeah, we lost, you know, lost Crochet, and we lost a couple guys here, and then Jackson Leith goes down in, like, the first week of the season. It's like, okay.
Thinking, let's just get to the Super.
Yeah, exactly. Get to like, Super can we maybe host a regional and then just kind of see what happens? Like,
things get crazy this time of year. Obviously, you want to win. There's no dispute as far as trying to make it as far as you can. But I do think that once you get to this level of play, really anything is possible. I would say they should beat Virginia. Like, I expect them to beat Virginia just from what I've seen from other reports. And again, like, we know baseball's not necessarily my thing. But I think at this point, as long as you're playing some extremely close contested games, I think Tennessee fans, one, should be happy. I mean, they'll still be disappointed, but if you don't win at all, because, I mean, that's just sports. Once you get to a game, you're expecting, like, all right, anything can happen. But not to take that loser's mentality, but I think as long as you get one win in the tournament. And
well, no, that's why I asked the question. Like, I don't think it's a loser mentality. I mean, again, like, if 3 months ago I say, hey, this team's going to go to Omaha, whatever happens after that, who knows, but would you take that? Everyone says yes. Like, this season has been, like, the biggest success story for Tennessee sports. Like, we knew that the Admiral and Grant team was going to be really, really good. Like, you started preseason top 10. We knew that.
And we won a regular season and conference
this,
championship.
Right, and this team was ranked. I mean, you know, they were preseason top 25. But this team was number 2 in the country for a couple weeks, and then I guess technically now, according to the – I guess maybe Vanderbilt's ahead of us now.
Are we, like, the only newcomer here as far as teams that made the World Series, like, if we're looking over the last decade?
Yeah, Virginia is a mainstay.
They won it, like, mid-2010s, right?
2015,
okay, so they've got one before. We know Vanderbilt's
Arizona.
Been back there. Arizona,
Mississippi State, obviously, is very good.
I mean, Texas is Texas, like – when it comes to sports not named football, they've pretty much been at the top of the Big 12. Mm-hmm.
Stanford's been good for a very long time.
What about NC State? That's the one I'm
I don't know where they've been, but didn't somebody say their coach has been there for like
29 years?
Something
or maybe
insane,
longer than that.
So.
Yeah, he's been there forever. So, yeah, like, we're the new kid on the block.
I expect us to play 4 games at least. I mean, you're in the College World Series. You're getting the best of the best. You're not going to run the table this week. So I think
not with that attitude.
Maybe. I mean, I'm just being realistic. I mean, I would expect to pick up a win against Virginia, Texas, or Mississippi State. That's going to be a tough out either way you go. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you drop a game 2, bounce back in the game 3. I don't know, but 4 games. Anything less than 4 games, I'll be pretty disappointed.
Pretty disappointed?
Yeah, very disappointed.
Very disappointed? Very disappointed.
Yeah. Do you not have high expectations?
Well, that's why I asked about the expectations of this, because I think there's a big difference between, like, global expectations before the season and even as the season goes on, and then there's, like, the here and now expectations, and they're all very, very different.
I expect us to be playing for the national championship.
Oh, my God, Hickman.
Let's talk about this Tuesday.
No pressure from Adam Hickman. We'll discuss expectations and maybe go through that lineup one more time, Noel Dave, as we look at the schedule. This is 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number 1, 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio. Houston Crest, Davey Hudson, Adam Hickman with you. Expectations. Ever evolving, I think. It's just amazing. You go into the season, you say, hey, would you like to be in the Super Regionals? Everyone says, yes. What if we made Omaha? Oh, my God. Now we're here, and Hickman's going to fire Tony Vitello if we're not playing in four games.
I would never fire Coach V. I might get disappointed.
If we go 0-2, you're out. You're very disappointed. I mean,
no, if we go, well, yeah, I'll be very disappointed. I'll lose sleep over it, but.
I'm surprised. So Virginia has the lowest odds to win the whole thing. Wow. Fascinating.
Well, that's because they knew we were going to get matched up with them in the first game of the tournament. Kind of makes sense.
So, I mean, the odds are predicting a Tennessee-Vanderbilt National Championship Series. All right.
Has that ever been done before? An in-state matchup for baseball,
in-state?
Football, or basketball?
Not for football.
Basketball, surely to goodness, we've gotten Louisville, Kentucky at some point.
No.
For the title?
No.
Yeah, for the title. No. Or... Yeah.
Ever a Duke North Carolina final? Trying to think of. I can't think of one. Interstate, interconference, interdivision.
I mean, there's been conference. I mean, LSU and
Alabama. No. Yeah, I'm just saying. I was doing those at all three, like interstate, interconference, interdivision. SEC East, rise up. Ah, it's not the same conference, but Florida did beat Florida State in 96 in a rematch. They beat them 52-20.
In a natty?
Mm-hmm. After losing to them, like, just a couple weeks before that. That's when old Spurrier went shotgun to protect Werfel, because he got hit late often in that first game, I believe, at Doak Walker. Yeah, I can't think of an interconference, interdivision, though. That's, like, impossible. Well, I mean... LSU Bama, but not in state. That's so. Yeah, this would,
yeah.
This
Georgia
would,
played Alabama too, interconference.
Right. I'm just saying, all three of those combined, I can't think of one. It's just I don't think anything at this point can disappoint me. I'll be honest. Unless I mean, if we get just steamrolled in two games and we're going home like 40-0 over the course of two games, it's like okay, well, didn't show up. That's embarrassing.
I'll be disappointed, but I'm not going to look at that. I will in no way, shape, or form be looking at this as a failure. I mean, we're going to Omaha. It's not happened since 2005.
Another note, in 1999, Miami beat Florida State for the College World Series.
Ooh.
So there it is, right there, right?
Okay, so it's happened a few times.
I mean, and that's a divisional game, I think, right? ACC? Am I crazy here?
I don't know if it would have been at the time.
Fair enough. I think we'd all sign up for that, right? Just making the final, whoever it is. Does Vandy scare you that much?
No.
Like, they do and they don't. It's kind of weird.
I don't know. They've been there before.
Sure.
Like, that's...
Which is good in a way, because it puts all the pressure on them. Like, all
Rocker
the pressure...
scares me. Vandy doesn't.
They were not in the same conference in 99. So this would be
pretty unique.
Pretty stellar. Pretty unique. But back to the expectations. Like, it's just wild to me. Like, Hickman, I don't disagree. Like, I want to be in this thing as long as possible. It's just funny that, like, a month ago, if I had said, what are your expectations? I don't think they would have been, well, we need to go to the College World Series and we need to play at least four games. Like, there's no way a month ago that's what you're saying.
A month ago would be, let's get to a Super Regional.
Get there. We just swept it at home against a conference rival who their head coach tried to dunk all over our fan base.
A historically great conference rival.
Yeah, exactly. Like, again, the Alabama football of college baseball.
The legend killer Vols.
I don't mind that. But that's what I'm saying. Like, so preseason expectations are one thing, in-season expectations are one thing, but now that we're here, and I'm not saying you're wrong for feeling that way. I mean, I think we all at this point know this team well enough to say, yeah, like they should win a game or two here. Like there's no reason they should just be 2-done and back on the plane.
And it's funny because it's total opposite with basketball, you know. Basketball preseason, we're sitting here looking like, okay, this should be an Elite Eight team.
I mean, yeah, two, like three last, it was like elite eight or bust.
Yeah, two or three months in the season, you're thinking, okay, Sweet 16, SEC tournament rolls around, end of the season rolls around, you're kind of like, okay, let's just win a game or two and be happy.
But and then, baseball, then they didn't, and everyone's
they didn't.
I mean, basketball resets so quickly though that everyone's looking at the recruiting class and who left, who's coming in. It's like, okay, well, we're back to the same type of expectations, but with baseball, it's just, I don't know, it's just funny to me. Let's – I mean, 2 years ago, it was let's make the SEC tournament. And that team went to a regional. They went to the Chapel Hill Regional, lost to North Carolina. Then last year, the team, Tony Vitello said, this is an Omaha-type team. 15-2 to start the season. Season gets canceled. Everyone kind of says, all right, well, we don't really know what to expect. We're just kind of glad the guys are going to be playing again. Stadiums are empty. And now here we are headed to Omaha.
We keep surpassing the bar.
Which, when's the last time a Tennessee team did that repeatedly within a season? Like, we all, again, like the Grant and Admiral team, like, we all knew that team was good. Maybe earlier in the year, like when they beat Gonzaga.
I would say,
went on that run, they were number one for like 6 weeks or something.
The season before that, when we won the SEC.
The regular season?
I would say that's the last time we've really surpassed the bar that had been set significantly. Just because, I mean, we were picked, what, second to last preseason?
It was 12th or 13th, yeah.
End up winning the whole thing, so.
They were 13th that year?
Yeah, preseason.
That's crazy.
And that's what I'm pretty sure that's what we finished the season ranked at, too, in the country was 13th. Or somewhere like that.
I don't know. From a football standpoint, you have to go probably back to the championship year. You finally got over Florida. You kept facing a lot of teams that you're like, all right, this is probably going to be close, but can you find a way to pull it out?
Yeah.
I mean, you had Arkansas hand it to you.
Literally.
Now in 2016, for football,
you got through five games.
Surpassed the bar. We beat Florida. Beating Georgia, a good Georgia team, would be kind of surpassing
the bar. I think the odds had you beating both of those teams, so I can't say you surpassed it whenever you're beating teams you're supposed to beat.
Yeah, but historically, when you look at the last decade of the Florida rivalry,
the money, the odds all said you should have won those games, and you did. You weren't upsetting teams. I don't think we didn't upset anybody that season. You go back and you look at it.
I don't remember what the lines were. I thought we were underdogs at Georgia. I could be wrong.
That's Kirby Smart's first year. I don't think you were.
I could be wrong. I really don't recall.
I mean, we were what, ninth to start the season? And you beat Appalachian State and you fell to 17th?
And then we were ninth by the time we rolled into Texas A&M.
And you didn't beat anybody you should have, but you did lose to people you should have beaten. So you didn't expect. Maybe just because we'd been so down from a standpoint over the last several years that for some fans they might view it as you exceeded expectations, but no, you didn't whenever you actually compare who you were playing against.
And then the back half of that was going to be, we kind of crapped the bed a little bit. And then,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you lost games you should have won, but you didn't beat anybody you shouldn't have beaten.
Like how we were trying to talk about how good this baseball team is, and Davey has to go back and remind us about how 2016 was an epic failure in football. Davey Hudson.
79 days.
Davey Hudson, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate his contributions each and every time. Hour two, three and out.
I just answered the question.
Kind of, not really.